Going through the New Testament now, we're in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6. We do have in the sixth chapter a message of Jesus which is very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. I do not believe that this is Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount. I believe that this is just another occasion where Jesus was teaching some of these basic truths, and that he, I'm certain, repeated these things many times because they are basic and they are essential. And so as we look here in the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we read here in this section, beginning with verse 35, "But love ye your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you will be called the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Now, as we approach again the Christmas season, we see the postcards and the Christmas cards, and we're reminded of the nativity, the little babe lying there in the manger, and the shepherds looking in adoration. The virgin has brought forth her firstborn son. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He was sent by the Father into this world to give to man an accurate revelation of the only true and eternal God. The purpose of his coming was multifold, but one of the basic purposes of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world was to reveal to the world the truth about God, to reveal the Father unto man. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And then he goes on to say, "But the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then he said, "No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father," or "the only begotten Son, rather, who was in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him," or "has brought him forth in revelation to us." No one had seen God at any time. People had mixed ideas concerning God. Peculiar ideas concerning God. And so Jesus came that he might bring forth God in manifestation unto man, so that man could know the truth about God. The book of Hebrews opens with these words: "God, who at different times and in different places spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his own dear Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, and by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God's revelation, he revealed himself in times past, throughout history, unto our fathers by the prophets, but now the complete and perfect revelation through his only begotten Son. When Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, we'll be satisfied." Jesus said, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet have you not seen me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." In John 12:45, Jesus said, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Paul tells us in Colossians that he is the image of the invisible God. So he came to reveal God, the truth of God. And as you look at the life of Jesus and study the life and the teachings of Jesus, you will discover what God is really like. Man needed a true revelation of God because he had developed so many false ideas and concepts of God. The Greeks had their concepts of God. They believed that there were many gods, gods that controlled and governed over the passions of men. And there was a god for each emotion, a god for each passion. They worshiped the planets. They worshiped the sun. They worshiped the moon. They worshiped the constellations. Many gods. But they believed that their gods were very selfish and self-centered, interested only in using their powers for their own ends. People had the wrong ideas and concepts concerning God. The Romans were much the same as the Greeks, who again served many different gods, worshiping the passions and the ideals that men hold. If you go to India and you look at the Hindu temples, you get an idea of what their concepts of God were, those horribly grotesque forms that adorned their temples. And can you imagine a God that looks like those things? What is God really like? There was one nation to whom God committed the revelation of himself, and that was to the nation of Israel. Paul asked the question in his letter to the Romans, "What advantage then hath the Jew?" And he answers his own question with these words, "Much and in every way, for unto them were committed the oracles of God." That is, God spoke to them and revealed himself to them. Moses spoke to the people and he said, "For what nation is there so great, who hath God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath the statutes and the judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" God chose to reveal himself to this nation. In Psalm 147:19, he declares, "He shows his word unto Jacob and his statutes and judgments unto Israel." A nation that was entrusted with the revelation of God, entrusted by God to share that revelation of himself to the world. But they became very clannish. And they failed to share that revelation of God to the world, but kept it pretty much exclusively for themselves. But then they began to even pervert the revelation, so that by the time Jesus came into the world, when he came to the religious center, he said, "You have made my Father's house a den of thieves." And he castigated those who were the religious leaders. And he called them blind. And they were leading the blind, and thus they had fallen into a ditch. He said, "If the light that is in thee be darkness, then how great is that darkness?" And so the people had developed a false concept of God. They received the idea that God was very exacting and cruel. He was harsh and he was unreasonable, and he made unreasonable demands upon his people. That God was demanding from man far more than man could produce. And so they had caused people to turn away from God and to hate the ways of God because of the exacting, punctilious ways by which they were seeking to keep their interpretations of the laws of God. So when you see how that God has been misrepresented to man, you can see why man felt that he could never be close to God. He could never be intimate with God. And because of his concept of God, he really didn't desire to be close. Unfortunately, this is still true to the present day in many places. God is still being misrepresented. Little demagogues standing before people declare their distorted concepts of God, which actually are just a revelation of themselves and a desire to bring men under their influence and power. They represent God as self-centered, demanding, wanting only sacrificial support so he can maintain his lavish lifestyle. And they make a farce out of God. So it was necessary that we have a true revelation of God, and Jesus came for that purpose. That little babe lying there in the manger is God incarnate in human flesh. He will grow up to be a man, and he will go around and he will reveal to man the truth about the Father. So if you really want to know God and understand the truth about God, you have to look at what Jesus said and what Jesus did. For in him is the revelation of God. Now here in chapter 6, just before the verses that I read you, beginning with verse 27, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you, pray for those which despitefully use you. And if someone smites you on the cheek, offer him the other. And if he would take away your cloak, forbid him not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. And then he said in verse 35, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. So what did he reveal to us in this? He revealed to us that God loves all, even his enemies. Those who have made themselves enemies of God, those who have opposed God, set themselves against him, he loves them in spite of their rebellion. Paul tells us, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He loves those who have made themselves his enemies. That God does good to those who hate him. Jesus said he causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. He does good to those that even hate him. And he blesses those who curse him. That's tough, isn't it? What is our natural response if someone curses us? Be honest. And yet God blesses those who curse him. And Jesus, you remember, as they were nailing him to the cross, prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Prayed for those who were despitefully using him. And so we see what God is really like. His love is so great that it overcomes all opposition and all obstacles. His goodness upon those that have set themselves against him. And as the scripture said, don't you know it's the goodness of God that brings man to repentance? And so often, it has been the goodness of God to me that has brought me again to my knees. How good he is. Jesus told us as he went on in verse 37, judge not, condemn not, forgive. These again are the glorious traits and characteristics. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. He came to forgive us of our sins. And then he said, you will then be disciples like your heavenly Father. Now, having told them these things, revealing the characteristics of God's nature, saying, now you need to be like this so that you can be like your heavenly Father. These things that are contrary to our own fleshly nature. Loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate us, blessing those that curse us, praying for those that despitefully use us. If someone smites us on the cheek, turn the other also. Giving to those that ask, not judging, not condemning. Jesus said then, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not the things that I command you?" You see, these are the things that he commanded you. And if you don't do these things, how can you say, Lord, Lord? Now, what do you find that is so objectionable about the things that Jesus asked you to do? Don't you think that it would be a much better world if everyone was following these commandments and living by these things? If we all treated other people like we would like to be treated? Imagine if a new community was developed and that they advertised that they were only going to sell houses to loving people whose purpose was to just do unto others as they would like to have done to them. That there would be no locks put on the doors of the houses. There would be no police departments, no judges, no courts, no jails. For all of the issues would be resolved in love and consideration for each other. And there would be no taxes, because there would be no government bureaucracy to support. You wouldn't have to pay people to tell you what you could do and can't do. No one telling you that you can't put up a nativity scene at Christmas time on public property. No one telling you that you cannot sing Christmas carols in the public schools. No one telling you you can't chop down the ugly tree in the front of your house. You see, it cost us a lot of money to hire people to help control our lives and then to enforce these kinds of protection. That's why your taxes are so high. I would be the first one to sign up to buy a house in that community, but then I would gladly give up my first place in line to someone who was more needy than I, and I would stand back in consideration and wait my turn until it was convenient for me to sign up. Those in the media seem to portray how horrible it would be if we had men in office who were Christians. You see, they would soon be trying to impose their value system on everyone. They would have us teaching our children that they shouldn't fight, they shouldn't cheat, they shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. And they would probably want to outlaw pornography and adultery and alcohol. And they might even impose censorship, that horrible word. And they wouldn't allow the rap groups to tell you to rape your sister and to shoot a cop. Oh, my. It means that I'd have to probably spend my time with a family. I couldn't hang out at the bar or in the clubs drinking beer and being stimulated by the new dancers. Can you imagine how rotten it would be if Christians had their way in a society? Terrible. At Christmas time, rather than just getting sentimental over a beautiful story of a babe that was born in Bethlehem, we should stop and think of the purpose of his coming. And he would have you to celebrate his coming by loving your enemies, doing good to those that hate you, maybe even sending them a Christmas gift this year. For as Jesus said, If you do good to them which do good to you, big deal. Sinners do that. If you love only those that love you, big deal. Publicans do that. And if you lend only to those that you hope to receive back with interest, that's no big deal. Sinners lend to sinners. We're to be different. We're to do more. Because our Father does more. Incidentally, that community that I was telling you about, it does exist. It's called heaven. And I've got my reservation in. Shall we pray? Father, we love the revelation that Jesus has given to us of you. A loving, kind, compassionate, gracious, forgiving, not condemning, helping, strengthening, seeking to do good. And we thank you, Father, that we have become beneficiaries of that goodness and of that love and of that grace. And as your children, Lord, help us now that we might reflect you to the world that doesn't know the truth, that they might see in us a demonstration of what you are, that they might be drawn to know you and to love you even as we love you. Lord, we confess our shortcomings. We do not always do these things that we should, and yet we call you Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? 1 week left. Put it all together. And so may the Lord give you wisdom and strength, guidance and help. And with everything else, as we prepare for the celebration of that day, let's not forget the reason why he came. If you get caught in a traffic jam this week, may the Lord just give you the patience and may you make it just a pleasant place for the others around you who are so frenzied and harried, you know, and honking their horns and all, and just, you know, smile and blow kisses, you know. That you might be the children of your Father who causes his sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. May it be a beautiful week as God prepares your heart to celebrate the coming of the Savior into the world.